Thank you, Stephanie, for that. Thank you, Brandy, Arlene, and Brian. As I said, the children are going to help me this morning for us to look at the Christmas story. If you're wondering, we've taken these passages from Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, and Luke 2. And we are going to, I'm going to just kind of read the Christmas story to you, or tell you about the Christmas story. And then our children, as I am sharing that with you, they will be coming and kind of portraying what's going on. Before we begin, I just want to thank each of you parents for allowing them to come, and not only tonight, this morning, but all throughout the year, when you allow your children to come and be a part of the ministries that's going on in this church. I want to thank Auntie and Jennifer for kind of heading that up. Sheila helps a lot. There's just Mindy. As I look around, there's so many mothers and parents that help with this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble because I'll forget somebody's name, but each and every one of you, the Tina and the girls that are in our nursery, it takes a group effort to round up these kids, amen, and to share the love of Christ with them, and we thank him for that, but we thank y'all. So let us begin. We're going to start off with, and the story begins with the conception of Jesus' birth foretold. Now Mary, a virgin, was living in Galilee of Nazareth and was engaged to be married to Joseph, a Jewish carpenter. As Joseph leaves, departs, we see that there is a host of angels that are going to come and appear to Mary. The scriptures tell us that Mary, a virgin, was the angel visited her and explained to her that she would conceive a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. She would carry and give birth to this child, and she would name him Jesus. At first, Mary was afraid and was troubled by the angel's words. Being a virgin, Mary questioned the angel, "How can this be?" And the angel explained that the child would be God's own son, and therefore nothing is impossible with God. Humbled and in awe, Mary believed the angels of the Lord and rejoiced in God her Savior. As the angels depart, Mary is going to travel to Elizabeth's home to meet with her. The scriptures tell us at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." As the characters depart from the stage, surely Mary reflected on one and wondered with wonder on these words that were found in Isaiah 7:14. They were foretelling of this, they foretold of this event, where it said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So we come to the next section, the birth of Jesus. When Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, he had every right to feel disgraced. Although Joseph's initial reaction was to break the engagement, the appropriate thing for a righteous man to do, he treated Mary with extreme kindness. He did not want to cause her any future shame, so he decided to act quietly. Now, as Joseph was alone, God sent angels to Joseph in a dream to verify Mary's story and to reassure him that his marriage to her was God's will. The angels explained that the child within Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that his name would be Jesus, and that he was the Messiah, God with us. So when Joseph awoke from his dream, he willingly obeyed God and took Mary home to be his wife, in spite of the public humiliation that he would face. Now at this time, Caesar Augustus decreed that a census would be taken, and every person in the entire Roman world had to go to his own hometown to register. Joseph, being of the line of David, he was required to go to Bethlehem to register with Mary. But while they were in Bethlehem, due to the census, the inn was so crowded, but they were able to find shelter in a stable. And Mary gave birth in a crude stable, and she wrapped the baby in clothes, and she placed him in a manger. Now, out in the fields, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds who were tending their flocks by night. Now we got to give the shepherds a chance to get up here. As they're coming, I want you to notice kind of we have some smaller shepherds and we have some wayward sheep that you need to watch. The angel announced that the Savior had been born in the town of David, and suddenly a host of heavenly beings appeared with the angels and began singing praises to God. As the angelic beings will depart, the shepherds will decide to go to Bethlehem and see this child. When they do go, they will find Mary, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby and the shepherd in the stable. After they visit, they will depart, and they will spread word of this amazing child and everything that the angel had said about them. Then they will go on their way, still praising and glorifying God. But Mary will keep quiet, treasuring these words and pondering them in her heart. It must have been beyond her ability to grasp that this sleeping in her arms, this tender child she had just given birth to, was the Savior of the world. And finally, we have the wise men, the Magi from the East, that will be bringing gifts. After Jesus' birth, Herod was king of Judea, and at this time wise men, Magi from the East, saw a star, and they came in search, knowing the star signified the birth of the king of the Jews. The wise men came to the Jewish rulers in Jerusalem and asked, "Where is this Christ to be born?" And the rulers explained, "In Bethlehem in Judea," referring to Micah 2:5-2. Herod secretly met with the Magi and asked them to report back after they found the child. Herod had told him that he wanted to go and worship the baby, but secretly Herod was plotting to kill the child. So the wise men continued to follow the star in search of this newborn king, and they found Jesus with his mother in Bethlehem. And they bowed and they worshipped him, offering treasures of gold and incense and myrrh. And when they leave, they will not return to Herod, for they have been warned in a dream of his plot to destroy this child. Now, parents, I will tell you, this is the best time to get a picture of all of them, if you want to stand up and do that. While you're doing that, let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Y'all look that way. All right, is that every? Oh, Tina's still getting one. Y'all hold on. All right, y'all give them one more round of applause. They did well. Thank y'all. I appreciate them helping us to understand that story. Helping to explain the Christmas story. They are noisy little sheep and shepherds, aren't they? Yeah, you know they're coming. They're not going to sneak up on you. As they are getting changed back out of their costumes and be ready for each of your parents as y'all get ready to leave, they'll be back in a minute. But I want to just kind of sum up for you. I think you can tell for the Christmas and understand that Christmas is really special to children. We understand that. But I want to take just a minute while they're getting changed out of their costumes and getting back in here. I want to share with you three things. I want to share with you why Christmas is so special and can be so special to each one of us that are gathered here this morning. Three reasons, and if you look in your bulletin, you know, you've got a sheet that has this. There's no fill in the blanks. It's all filled in for you and has the verses that we're going to be talking about. But I want to just very quickly talk to you about three things, or give you three answers to three questions that I want to pose to you. And the first question is, what is the relevance of Christmas? In other words, why is it so important? Why is it that Christmas is such a big deal? Well, Philippians 2:7 tells us that he was born as a human being. I want you to understand what's so important about Christmas. What's the relevance of Christmas for you and I? That is that God himself chose to come to earth. And he came in the form of a human being. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I was God, I probably would not have used that plan. I would have thought of a little bit more elaborate celebration. And I got thinking about this, and I thought, you know, what would be more spectacular? What would have a little more pizzazz to it than a child being born? I thought, you know, maybe we'd have him, if I'd have been God, maybe I'd had him come, my son come and at halftime of the Super Bowl, when there's fireworks and singing and all this big production of fireworks and thunder and lightning. But you know what? I'm not God. The Father knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. He chose something different. He had another idea. And his idea was that his son would come just like every one of us came into this world, and that is by being born into it. Now, can't you imagine? Don't you imagine that the angels were kind of shocked about this? Do you think that maybe they thought, well, maybe there ought to be a little bit better plan, a little more elaborate? And I can almost hear the Father telling them, say, well, we need to do it this way because my son is coming to save mankind, not to scare them. And so he chose that he would come in the form of a child. And that's pretty good news, isn't it? That's good news for you and I, because that means that he has been through everything you and I go through. It's not that he is beyond it and hasn't experienced it. He experienced the same thing that you and I did. So why is Christmas such a big deal? Well, it's a big deal because God came to earth. That's the relevance of Christmas. The second question that I want to ask you is what was the reason? Excuse me, what is the reason for Christmas? Why did God do this? You know, he probably could have come up with and been some other means to make this available, but God's plan was really pretty simple. And you will see that I've got written for you there the reason for Christmas. Why did he do this? Why did he send his son to die? And he did it for your benefit and for my benefit. He came because you and I needed a Savior. The Bible tells us really there's four reasons. First of all, Jesus came to the earth to show us what God would be like and what God is like. There's all kinds of crazy ideas about what God is and what His character is and how He responds and how He interacts. But it was all put to rest when Jesus came to earth, didn't it? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, was telling His disciples, He said, they asked Him, well, you know, we don't know the Father. And He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. See, He came so that God, we would understand what God is like. The second thing, reason for the season, our benefit, your benefit, my benefit, the second part of that is that He came so that we would understand what life was really all about. If you have visited this church, if you're a member of this church, if you've heard me preach many times at all, I talk a lot about our purpose, that God has a purpose for each one of us. See, the Christmas story is about God showing us what life should really be like. That we all each have a purpose. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 10:10 when He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. See, my biggest fear is that there are the thing that bothers me the most is I realize there are far, far too many people who aren't really living, they're just existing. God wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy life, and He has a purpose for us. So the reason for Christmas is that Jesus came for my benefit, for yours. He came to show us what God is like. He came that we might understand what life is really all about. And then the third thing, He came so that we might be able to trust and understand that we can trust God the Father. You know, I think every one of us in here would agree. It's really kind of hard for us to really put our trust in someone until we know Him. And that's why Jesus came, so that we might know the Father, we might be able to put our trust in Him. But there's a fourth reason, and that is really quite simply, Jesus came to the earth to forgive, to make a way that each one of us could receive forgiveness for everything that we've ever done and will do wrong. That's what Philippians 2 tells us. He became a man so that He could take away our sins. And although He was God, He laid aside the mighty power and the glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like a man. And He humbled Himself even further by going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus came to the earth to die for all those reasons. And that's called grace. That is God displaying for you and I His grace. Why in the world would God come to earth in a human form? He came in that way because you and I needed it. Because we needed a Savior. And you've probably seen the bumper stickers. They've even preached on the title, Jesus is the reason for the season. And He is. That is why we have Christmas. But if we dig just a little bit deeper, we will understand that you and I are the reason for the season. That you and I had a need, and Jesus came to fulfill that need. So that's the reason for Christmas. And I told you there was one other question that I wanted to ask. Not only what is the relevance, not only what is the reason, but I want to answer what is the result. In other words, what difference does it make to you and I? Well, here's what I want you to see. as we celebrate the Christmas season, as we celebrate with family and friends, let us not ever forget the result of Christmas is that you and I can know God. I'm doing a study. After the first of the year, we'll look at it. It's going to be done on Sunday nights. I'm looking at and doing a series where we're comparing Christianity to Islam. And I want to tell you something that stands out in that study from day one. That is, we as believers have an advantage in the fact that we can know God personally. We can have a personal relationship with God. He knows everything about us. He wants us to know everything about Him. The reason we were put on this earth is to have a relationship with the Father. And that's the gift of Christmas. That's what Christmas is supposed to remind us about. The result of Christmas is that you and I can get to know God. And we can have a relationship with Him. Romans tells us it's a pretty good gift. So we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son. While we were still His enemies, and we will be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. All because of what our Lord Jesus has done. I want to tell you, this is the best gift that will ever be given. Nothing can compare to it. We are, in the next 2 weeks, and I know different families have already started celebrating and having their family Christmas times this weekend. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be meeting at different places at different times with different parts of families, and we're going to be exchanging gifts. And those gifts, some of those gifts are going to be very precious to you that you get. Some of those gifts might even be very expensive. But I want to tell you, every one of the gifts that we give each other, no matter how much energy and love and time and money we put into them, they are still very temporary, aren't they? They're temporal. But I want you to understand, this gift that the Father gave us in the form of His Son is personal. And what the kids were helping me, and what I read for you there, they said that that unto you a Savior has been born. It's very personal. It's for everyone. The gift that God offers is for each and every one of us. Not only is it personal, it's very practical. Do y'all think that any of you might get a gift this year that is not all that practical for you to use? I bet. I'll bet you'll get something. Let me tell you, the gift of Jesus Christ at Christmas time, that's never the problem. It is the most practical gift you and I will ever need. Because every human being needed a Savior. We needed a means to have a relationship back with God. There's a lot of discussion, and it starts pretty early on. Matter of fact, it starts the Thanksgiving Day, and it really cranks up the next day. All you can see on the media and social media is how much different gifts cost. Every year they have a competition, and they keep track of what is the most expensive gift given. I want to tell you something. It's not even close. No matter what anybody spends, I don't care if they spend multiple millions of dollars, they will never get close to the price that our Father paid and that Jesus paid for you and I. Amen? It's a priceless gift. We can't put a price tag on it because you can't buy it. It's only offered. So it's personal, it's practical, it's priceless. But here's the thing that I want you to hear and want you to remember this Christmas season is it is a permanent gift. Any of y'all have any allusions to the fact that something that you're going to get Christmas this year is still going to be working and functional 150 years from now? Probably if it's some toys for our kids, they may not even make the week. Amen? I want to tell you, this gift that God gives is permanent. When we invite Christ in our lives, it's the way that it's permanent at that point. So, the thought occurred to me, and I want to close with this. Can you imagine? You give someone, you give me a gift, and it's wrapped up, and it's in beautiful package, and it's got bows, and it's got a beautiful wrapping paper. And you bring it to me this year, and I take that gift, and I make such a big deal about how beautiful the wrapping is, how beautiful the bows are, how much I enjoy this gift, how appreciative I am of this gift. And about 6 months into it, you see me again and you say, well, you know, you joined that Christmas gift? And I say, oh, yeah, yeah. I look at that box every day. I look at that wrapping paper every day. And you begin to realize, you go, wait a minute. You mean you've not opened the gift yet? And I tell you, oh, no, 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 I haven't opened it. I'm enjoying the wrapping too much. Some of you, if not all of you, would look at me and say, you've done lost, dropped a clog somewhere, amen? It's silly for us to so adore the outer package of a gift that we never open it up and enjoy the gift. But what's really sad to me, and the reason I say tell you that silly story, is to say I meet a lot of people every day who celebrate Christmas. They get excited about Christmas. I mean, they max out the credit card. They do everything. They go all out in Christmas. But they don't know the Christ of Christmas. And I'm here to tell you, what they're doing is exactly what I just described. They're enjoying the packages and the ribbons, but they don't have any idea. They're not enjoying the gift. Don't leave here this morning being guilty of that. How many Christmases will go by that you'll enjoy the wrappings but never open up the gift? The gift is simple. You see, God made this gift to where a 6-year-old boy could open the gift. And He made it where a 99-year-old man could open the gift for the very first time. It is personal, practical, it's priceless, and it's permanent. But you got to open it, amen? You got to open the gift. It's not enough just to admire the wrapping. This year, make sure that you're not just admiring the packaging. If you'll bow with me for just a minute, I'm going to ask Brandy and Carlene and Brian if they'll come. I'm going to ask the ladies if they'll just start playing for us for just a minute. Brian is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. We're going to use, looks like 433, is that right? We're going to use 433, so if you want to get that found. But I want to give you just a moment, as these ladies begin playing, to just think about it and say, Lord, is that what I've been guilty of doing? Have I been so admiring the package that I failed to open the gift? I know that sounds silly, and you'd say nobody would ever do that. I'm afraid there's a lot of us who have done that spiritually. So as these ladies play through this one time, why don't you just ask the Lord, Lord, am I guilty of doing that? Is there a decision that I need to make? Do I need to invite you in? Do I need to open the gift? Maybe I need to come back to you. Maybe He's been telling you for a while, this is where you need to be serving, and you haven't followed through with that. Once Brian starts leading us, once we start singing this together, He's going to ask us to stand. That's your opportunity to make one of those decisions to come and meet me here at the front. Let's listen as they play this.